A very good morning to everyone. The first case on this morning's call is number 063060, the United States against Bang. Mr. Salerno.
Honorable Court, I guess I should start by acknowledging the uphill battle that I have in the clear error standard. We've submitted our briefs, and I don't think I need to belabor the point too much, other than to say, of course, our position is that the judge should have given more consideration to the 3553 factors under Booker and the case law that has followed since then. As the court can see from the record, this involved a situation where an elderly woman opened a house of prostitution, or a massage parlor that fronted for a house of prostitution. And she had never been arrested prior to that date. She was not involved in the prostitution business in any way, shape, or form prior to this situation. It was a situation where someone owed her money and gave her the business. Uncontradicted at sentencing was the fact that she had no idea what the nature of the business was prior to taking over the establishment and was in the process or attempting to turn it into a legitimate massage parlor when there was a raid, and eventually she was indicted.
She, not to trivialize 18 months, because of course any time in prison is significant, but it's not a severe sentence as sentences go. And I think the problem that the district judge saw was that she wasn't really required to continue running an illegal business. She ran the illegal business for some number of months, whatever her intentions may have been, and I just didn't see in this record where the judge failed to think about the factors that 3553A makes relevant.
Well, I guess as anywhere else in life, you know, everything is kind of relative. When you have an individual and you look at the individual defendant under the Section 3553, you see a woman who took over a business, who was incredibly in debt, lost money operating the business for a period of time. She didn't engage in prostitution activities, but there were prostitutes working at the place. I think the judge, in the colloquy at sentencing, indicated that he had taken into account some of the 3553 factors, but every 3553 factor mentioned militated in her favor. The nature and circumstances of the offense was that She operated the business for only a period of 4 months. So in the scope of the offense versus, I guess, the punishment, the question is while 18 months in the general scheme of, I guess, what we see every day in a federal courtroom with the sentences that are meted out, is 18 months unreasonable as compared to other sentences? No, but as compared to the 3553 factors in this case, when you operate a business for 4 months, she lost money. She didn't get into it with the intention of being in the prostitution business. It was kind of a ruse. She bought it from a sister, found out it was a prostitution business. And I see the point. Obviously, she could have walked away from it. But I guess because of the great financial loss, she was attempting to turn it into something else and attempting to make it gravitate towards a legitimate business. What I think is particularly interesting, as I pointed out in the brief, is that the original owners of the spa, and counsel can correct me if I'm wrong, I believe ran the place for about 7 years, the person that she got the business from, or the people before that, those people, and they were never indicted. The co-defendant received probation, and the co-defendant worked with her in the massage parlor for a period of time. Again,
but her sentence was more severe because she did run the place. And, you know, as you know, our job is not here to pick the most reasonable sentence that one could have. It's simply to ask the question, did the district court judge pick a reasonable sentence? And did the district court follow the procedures that are prescribed for sentencing? And again, I mean, you recognize as you started that it's a hard position for you to take. I just can't see in this record that the judge failed to do the kinds of things he's supposed to do. And I don't feel in a position to say that 18 months, given the fact that she didn't have to do it, given the fact that she did run it, we don't know when she would have finally decided the time had come to stop trying to legitimate the business. The law happens to make this illegal, so.
Well, I think the factors were touched on, but the question when in regards to whether the correct procedure was followed is what arguments the judge actually heard and what arguments actually had an impact on the sentence. I mean, to say I don't think this is going to be a deterrence for her because I'll never see her in a courtroom again. To say that she has no prior record, so I'm taking that into account. To say that she only operated the business for a period of 4 months and her co-defendant received probation, it seems like, I don't want to sound flippant, but it seems like, in a sense, a cursory lip service type of analysis was done, and I don't mean it in a derogatory fashion, but I can't fashion the words to describe it, but it seems like it's one of those instances where the attorney didn't bring up mitigation, the judge didn't reach into the record for mitigation, the factors that were mentioned militated in her favor, and then there was some sort of a cursory analysis and just a presumptive reasonableness of the 18 months. And it may be that the 18 months, in light of what judges, you know, sentence people to on a daily basis, doesn't require or seemingly doesn't require that type of analysis, but in the scope of this older woman who had never been arrested, who was obviously not a criminal by nature and by life experience, 18 months is a huge sentence.
How old is she?
She's 54 years old, I believe. Obviously, she was married 3 times. She couldn't have children. She came to here when she was 25. When she was arrested, her brother kicked her out of the house. She was essentially without a place to live. She was a religious woman, and I don't know how that rubs against what she was doing for a living at the time, but she lost money on the business. So based upon those factors, I think the judge made an error.
Thank you, Mr. Salerno. We'll hear now from Mr. E.S. Perro.
Good morning. May it please the court. Unless the court has any questions, the government is prepared to rest upon its written submission. It's brief.
I do have a question. If I may invite your attention to the transcript on page 11. I am really somewhat concerned about the methodology which the district court used here and whether he fully understood the mandate of Booker and the cases that follow it. The judge, in sentencing this individual, began by saying he first had to consider whether he ought to, quote, grant a variance from the guideline range. What did he mean by grant a variance?
Judge, I believe he meant that after calculating the advisory guideline range, he was going to determine whether a sentence below the range was appropriate, and I think he used the term variance in that respect.
But he seems to feel that there's some kind of a, from his perspective as a district judge, that there's some kind of a very clear presumption or that he ought to sentence within that range. I understand what the law is about it. It's reasonable if it's within the range, from the point of view of an appellate review. But he seems to feel here that he, as a district judge, has his discretion cabined by the guideline range, and that he has to somebody has to carry some kind of a burden to show that they ought to grant a variance.
Judge, I agree that he'd use the terminology presumption of reasonableness, but in looking at the 3553 factors, he analyzed them, looked at the mitigating factors, which Mr. Salerno touched upon, determined that a guideline sentence was most appropriate. So I think under Booker, he did what he was supposed to do, which is calculate the advisory guideline range, look at the 3553A factors, and determine what sentence he believed was most reasonable. And in this case, he thought it was 18 months.
Well, I thank you very much for your answer.
Thank you, Judge.
Apparently there are no other questions. Thank you, sir. How much time does thank you very much. You have three minutes, Mr.
That.
Salerno.
Thank you. Thank you, Judge. I wanted to address that issue just for 30 seconds. I believe that's the case. In essence, the attorney filed what he fashioned as a downward departure motion from the advisory guideline of 18 months, and I believe that's part of the unreasonableness herein when the court thought he was ruling on a downward departure motion, or the lawyer thought he had to fashion it as a downward departure motion, and based upon that, I believe that the factors in 3553 weren't considered correctly. So.
Thank you very much, Mr. Salerno. Mr. Ayers-Pero, the case will be taken under advisement.